presence of the Lord. The Bible says, where two or more are gathered in His name, He is there. And we are here this morning gathered in His name to hear what He wants to say, to listen to Him, to sit on His lap, to worship Him, to kiss His feet. And I just sense while I was preparing that the Lord just wants us to sit back and relax and enjoy the Word. Enjoy spending time in the Word. Enjoy just hearing what He wants to say. Lord, I just want to consecrate this morning, and I pray that You will take every word that I say, Lord, and multiply it, and let it bloom, Lord. Let it be a gift. Let it bless them. Come and enter this place, Lord. Lord, come and speak through me. More of You and less of me, Lord. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 1 verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. By a simple word, God created heaven and earth. By simply speaking. In Genesis 1, verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, verse 14, verse 20, verse 24, 26, and 29. Each verse starts with, and God said, then God said, and He created the heavens and the earth by His word, by His will. This morning I want to talk to you about words. What we say, how we say it, to whom we say it, and the effects we have. How does it affect people, what we say to them? What we speak over them, what we speak to them, what we say in front of them, what we say behind them. If you have your Bible here today, please turn to John 9. I was preparing to teach on John 9. And as I sat down to prepare my sermon, I received a voice note of somebody saying, I made a joke while I was in their home. And I told their kid, he was running up to his mom, giving her mom a kiss. And I said, no. Boys of your age only kiss your dad. You don't kiss your mom. And normally, then they want to show you, I will kiss her. And then they kiss and kiss and kiss and kiss and they don't stop. But this boy listened to him, Donnie, and he stopped kissing his mom. He stopped greeting his mom for a whole week. And by me making a silly joke last Saturday, a kid stopped greeting his mom. I made that joke 20 times to 20 different children. I actually tested it yesterday on my own son, and he said, Dad, I know you're making a joke, and he just kissed my wife all over. But by a simple joke, I ruins a family's week. The mum is sad, the dad is angry, because I'm silly. Because I used words that didn't build up. I thought I was being funny. And as I sat down to prepare my sermon in John 9, I listened to this voice note. I got this long voice note of 2 minutes and 37 seconds. And I thought, oh, lekker, I'm going to listen what this guy says. And I was in tears afterwards. I thought, Lord, I need to go and talk about words again. So those of you that were here a year and a half ago, I've preached about this then. And It just made me realize again, what do we speak? What do we say? Do we speak life? Do we speak death? Do we believe what we say? On the other hand, if you look at Proverbs 18 verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge in it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. So coming to Christ, a lot of people like to quote this scripture, and I thought it was a bit weird. I personally thought they're taking it a bit too far. Because if I tell somebody, be intelligent, will you now be intelligent? If I tell you, grow up, will you start growing all of a sudden? And I thought, I think people are taking it a bit too far. And then I started to practice it. And I started to tell people the beauty that I see in them, the potential I see in them. And I started to speak life over people. If I keep on telling you, you are amazing. You are amazing. You are a child of God. He loves you. He dances with joy over you. He loves you. What are you going to feel? Are you going to feel happy or sad? What we say, we speak into existence. Psalm 19 verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my firm, immovable rock and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to God. Every time if I speak, every time if I say something, if I imagine I'm talking to God, what would I say? What would I say to you? What will I say about you? What will I speak over you? Can you quickly turn to somebody? If you don't have somebody next to you, somebody behind you, in front of you, just turn to somebody and quickly have a look at that person. Look at his eye color. Look at his hair. Just look at somebody. Like, for real. Just look at somebody. Seriously, look at him. Now think of a compliment that you can give that person. Just something that comes in your heart. And give that person a compliment. Something nice. Tell that person, you are beautiful. You are wonderful. Tell that person, you are wonderful. You are amazing. You are perfect. You were created in God's image. You are perfect. Tell that person, now it gets uncomfortable. Tell that person, I love you. Whoever it is. Tell them, you are awesome. And I love you. So how did it feel? How did that feel to hear somebody loves you? Okay, you need to stop now. You need to look at me. How did it feel? How did it feel to hear that? It's lekker. That is the power of our words. Imagine if we go out and only speak life. Imagine if we go out and only speak life over people. There's a Dr. Masaru that wanted to know what's the effect of words. And he was of the opinion the effect of words is much higher and greater than we could ever imagine. And he did an experiment and he spoke words, different words. Bad words, good words, words of love, words of affirmation. He prayed over certain words. And he took that water and he prayed and spoke these words over water and he froze the water. And he looked at that water under a microscope. And I want to quickly show you a video clip of what these different water looks like. The scary part is he took jars of water and he wrote words on them, not even speaking them. And he had a look at that water under a microscope, just by the words that were spoken on it. Have a look at this video. Of course, people are critical, cynical, and they wanted to test it. So people took certain plants, rice, apples, and they started to experiment and speak in the one room, they will speak positive words. In the other rooms, negative words. Over the same two different jars, same product in it, and this is the pictures. That is rice after 27 days of telling that rice, I love you, I love you, I love you. And another jar of rice after 27 days of saying, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. The next picture, these are two plants planted at the same time, giving the same attention, but the words written on the containers, not spoken, written on the containers. The one grew, the one died. This was an apple, 2 weeks, good words and bad words spoken over them. Now imagine yourself in the video, they said our bodies is more than 60% of water. If you talk to medical people, they'll tell you it's up to 80% of your body is water. It's fluids. Imagine if you speak bad words over your friends, your colleagues, your loved ones. This is what happens in the natural, not even the supernatural, speaking prophetic truths over people. This is what happens in the natural. So with that in mind, let's read in James 3 what the Lord says about the tongue. The tongue is a fire, for we all stumble and sin in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, never saying the wrong thing, he is a perfect man, fully developed in character, without serious flaws, able to bridle his whole body and rein in his entire nature, taming his human faults and weaknesses. Now, if we put bits into the horses' mouths to make them obey us, we guide their whole body as well. And look at the ships, even though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are still directed by a very small rudder and wherever the impulse of the helmsman determines. In the same sense, the tongue is a small part of the body and yet it boasts of great things. See by comparison how great a forest is set on fire by a small spark. And the tongue is a fire, the very word of injustice and unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members as that which contaminates the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life, the cycle of man's existence, and is itself set on fire by hell. Verse 7, for every species of beasts and birds of reptiles and sea creatures is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the human tongue. It is a restless, evil, undisciplined, unstable, full of deadly poison. When with it we bless our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. These things, my brother, should not be this way. For we have a moral obligation to speak in a manner that reflects our fear of God and profound respect for His precepts. For we have a moral obligation to speak in a manner that reflects our fear of God. They say if you listen to radio, they tell you that they can still pick up words and things that's been said hundreds of years ago. They can still pick it up. It never dies down, although you can't hear it. So imagine every word that we say, we need to be accountable to when we get to God. Verse 11. Does a spring send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brother, produce olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. So if I have read through this, I realize we can tame any animal, but I cannot tame my tongue. How dangerous is my tongue? What do I speak? What do I say? Do I speak it in the fear of God? Or do I just whatever, I don't care. So how do we do this? How do we get to a place where we can speak life? Where we can really speak life? trying to do it out of my own power, it's impossible. The answer is so simple. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love for others, growing out of God's love for me. So if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love for others, growing out of out of God's love for me, then I have become only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, just an annoying distraction. Just an annoying distraction. So, what we say should be out of love. If I sit down and I listen and I spend time in God's presence, just sit and say, Lord, I just want to sit in your presence. They say the two most romantic places to be, number one is your prayer closet, and number two is the pulpit. Just experiencing God's love. And we all don't have the guts to stand on the pulpit, but we all have the privilege of just sitting in our prayer closet, on our bed, on our knees, wherever we are, and just say, Lord, I want to be in your presence. I just want to sit and experience your love. Everything we say, if we experience love, if we really make time to sit and experience God's love, then we can speak love. Then Proverbs 18 verse 21, that death and life is in the power of the tongue, becomes real. Because now I sit and I experience God's love, and I just want to speak life over you. Now I don't want to lay down my guard. I want to speak life over you. So those of you that know me personally, I love the Word of God. I love reading it. I love teaching it. Ask my kids. I love using it. I love you applying it to my life. And I love to try and live by it. You don't always succeed. But I love to try and live by it. I had the privilege, we as a family sit together and read the Word and pray together and read together and pray together. And a while ago we started meditating on it, and I started to teach my children how to meditate on the Word, how to take one scripture, just one verse, and just read it a few times, and then just sit and say, ask the Lord, Lord, tell me what you want to tell me about this scripture. And we just repeat it over and over, and for the next 5 minutes we just sit and we repeat the scripture over and over and say, Lord, so what does this mean? So do you want me to do this? What does this mean? Until I've got peace. And then I go on to the next word, and word for word I start just sitting and soaking in the Word, and then I really understand God's grace. Then I really start, and the Word becomes part of us. And then by experiencing, just slowing down, I just, Lord, what does it mean that you dance over me with gladness? How do you mean God dances? How do you mean Sefanya 3:17 say, God jubel en juig oor my? Oor my? Weet hy wat dink ek? Weet hy wat in my hart aangaan? Ken hy my struggles? Yes, he knows. Before a thought, before a word, he knows it. But if I just slow down a bit and sit in the Word, make time, firstly, lastly, for God, then the Word becomes real, alive. And then it's difficult to forget that Word. We will sometimes talk and just have conversations in the house, and as we talk, we just realize we're speaking Word. We're speaking Word all the time because it's in our hearts. My eldest two, Darius is 12 and Clarice is 14. And if you start messing up and they quote Word to you to rebuke you, say, Dad, foul words should not leave your mouth. Father, this and this and this. Because the word is alive. And we can keep each other accountable. So let's take a moment and just read Ephesians 4 verse 29. I've put up 3 or 4 different translations. I know certain people love the Amplified, other people love the Message, other people love the Passion translation. But let's just read these scriptures, this one verse, and just ask the Lord to break it open for us. Do not let unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good for building up others, according to the need and occasion, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear you speak. Next one. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word as a gift. Each word as a gift. Imagine every word I speak is a gift. I love you. You're amazing. God's got amazing plans for you. He knows what you think. He wants to give you life in abundance. God rejoices over you. He didn't forget about you. He knows what you're thinking. Before we give a word, He knows our journey. Our days are written in His book. He knows. Imagine if we can just sit and read this one verse over and over. Let no harmful language come from your mouth. No foul, profane, worthless. Worthless words. Imagine worthless words. Stop saying worthless words. Only blessings. Only speak life. Each word as a gift. So Proverbs 27 verse 19 says, as in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man. I had a dream the other day that somebody is coming to our home to come and manage our money. But he was a bully. He was known to be, I don't know who this person is, he was just this being that comes to manage my money and manage my and my family's life. But he had no good intentions. He will take your money and he will give you as little as possible to live on. And he will make you suffer. And the first reaction is everybody was scared. He's coming. He's going to take over. This is the new reign. I don't have any money. I won't have any control. And just this feeling of, there's trouble coming. And then, in the dream, I felt the Lord said, godly confidence. And I just sat up. And then the guy came in, and I could speak with him with godly confidence. And I said, no. Whatever your plans are, it's not going to happen in this house. Because of godly confidence. Whatever happens in my heart, as water face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man. What we speak reflects who we are. What goes on in our hearts, who we are, the word says. The overflow of the heart is the mouth. Your words reveal who you are. So what we say about people behind their backs, in front of them, reflects who we are. So how do we change that? We sit in God's presence. We start the day with the word. We end the day with the word. We spend time in the Word, meditating on it, saying the same verse over and over and asking God to break it open for us. It doesn't help you just try to speak blessing. It needs to come from inside. Proverbs 22 verse 11. He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king as his friend. The king of kings, the Lord of lords. My relationship with the Lord is affected by how I speak. He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king as his friend. We can't just try and speak but don't have a pure heart. A pure heart and gracious speech will have the king as his friend. Who wants to have the king as his friend? I want to have the king as my friend. I want him walking with me. I want to walk and say, Lord, so what do I do here? What do I do here? What do I need to do here? I don't know. Help me. I want him as my friend. The king who knows everything. I want him as my friend. So let's sit a while and just be washed by the Word. I've got a few Proverbs. I love Proverbs. Many times, I believe there's a reason why there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. So every day, we used to read one chapter, and if we're done after 31 days, we start again, and we start again, and we start again. And I still don't know them. There's just so much wisdom in here. But let's just read a few. And let the Word just wash us clean. Let the Word just fill our hearts. Let the Word just fill our lives. And enjoy the Word that will never come back void. Proverbs 10 verse 20. The tongue of the righteous is like precious silver, greatly valued. The heart of the wicked is worth little. Proverbs 12 verse 14, a man will be satisfied with good from the fruit of his words, and the deeds of a man's hands will return to him as a harvest. Proverbs 12 verse 18, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword. This is the effect our word have, like a sword cutting. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 12 verse 22. Lying lips are extremely disgusting to the Lord. That's what the Bible says. If we lie, it's disgusting. Lying lips are extremely disgusting to the Lord. But those who deal faithfully are His delight. So do we want to be a delight? Or do we want to be extremely disgusting? And sometimes I'm so worried about this, what this dude will think of me, I'll rather tell a little white lie. I don't want him to think funny of me. I'm known at the company where I work. I work in the corporate world, selling advertising space in magazines. It's quite tense. It's quite challenging. It's not like everybody today is standing in line wanting to advertise in magazines. So it's very demanding. But I'm known in Media 24 that I will not lie to anybody. To my managers above, if we sit in corporate meetings, they are very nervous. Because if I don't know, I won't say I don't know. If I don't agree, I will tell you I don't agree. Very respectfully. And afterwards, many times people came to me, it's like, Donnie, if you just lie. Don't tell them you don't know. Or don't tell. I'm sorry. I will not. Because if I lie to you, if I lie to them, I can lie to you. So you know when I come to you with the most ridiculous story, you know it's true. If I tell you the check is in the bank, in the mail, it's really in the mail. If I told you, I just thought of you before the phone rang. I really just thought of you. I don't lie. If I tell you I love you, I really love you. I think you're amazing. You really inspire me. I don't just say it. Because a lying lip is extremely disgusting. Where are we? Proverbs 15, verse 4. A soothing tongue, speaking words that build up and encourage, is a tree of life. But a perversive tongue, speaking words that overwhelm and depress, crushes the spirit. Proverbs 15, verse 7. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of short-sighted fools are not so. The lips of the wise spread knowledge. We are almost done. Proverbs 21, verse 23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards himself from trouble. How many times have one of us said something and we're like, oops. We all did it. But if we think before we speak. The other day, somebody told me she never had to apologize for something she did not say. She always waits. She always waits a day before she replies to a mail. She always waits and thinks. You cannot say something wrong if you listen. But while I'm listening, I'm so busy trying to get the answers. I'm preparing my answer already. We should just listen. Pause. In this fast-paced life, did you see what happens if somebody talks to you and you're like, yeah? And I just stand and wait. Sometimes I'm waiting for the Lord. Sometimes I'll start saying something and the Lord says no. And I'm like, okay. Like, no, what did you say? It's like, no, the Lord says that. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to him. So that brings me back to Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my firm, immovable rock and my redeemer. May every word that we say inspire. May every thought that every idea, may it be a pleasing aroma. May we go out of here thinking about that bad apple. Can we put that picture of the apple on again? For me, that picture is just so powerful. Imagine if that ugly, rotten apple is somebody close to you, and we did it with our tongue, with what we said. How do we want people's spirit to look like? How do we want people to look like inside? Rotten? I mean, an apple 2 weeks like that. I think I want to try that. 2 weeks without being brown and ugly. That's the power of good works. But let's all just take a minute and ask the Lord to help us and guide us, that every word that we speak from today onwards will be a pleasing, acceptable in His sight.